other. We hear them in bed with each other. We got it all. By consent, we didn't put ours in there. We don't sneak in, put no tapes on people. We don't believe that. We don't believe with gloves. They gave us their tapes. I mean, one of them give tape on the other. One of them tape one. I never heard such an ugly state of affairs. It break my heart that some of my people could get the mess there. Some of those girls are going to bed with boys trying to get the people that left the cause, like Steve Buckmaster, did dirt and left all that money down there, buried a shack, couldn't get the money, couldn't get $2,000, took a miracle of connections of who I knew in high places to get the money loose because he didn't even bother to sign over so we could get the money to continue to educate Larry Shack. And they want to get him into their movement, and the way they get him is that Terry and Mickey go to bed with him when they don't want to. Try to hold him in that way. How many people are sick? Got into the awful sickness you ever saw in your life. And I don't mean to say I hear about it. I listen to it. We've all listened to it. Because one will get mad at the other one. When they get mad at the other one, then they'll come and tell them, give us their tapes. God, the wickedness is in people today. Just because of starting out with getting caught up with themselves. That's where it starts. And it's good to deal with it. We ought to deal with it with everybody. And everybody ought to deal with it just as quickly as you did, rather than be defensive and go all around Red Robin's barn and say, yeah, I'm defensive. I'm caught up with my own self. And maybe it's something that being neglected we could help you with. Because you've been a good worker. You've been a good nurse. You've been a committed person. You've done a lot with your children. Your Baptist minister husband forsook you and took off. We want to be your friend. We want to be your comrade. We don't see you getting the hell that they're in. They can't even trust each other. When one's out of the sight of each other, they talk about killing each other. How they're going to do it in vivid detail. We don't want our people to get caught up in a mess like that. Because I have somewhat against them. It's that they weaken us. Not much, or we can make a mighty, mighty impact. But enemies never can hurt you until they get somebody from within. Always treason begins within. Takes a Judas inside. So that's why I have somewhat against them, because they left their first love. And as bad as I hate to face it, and as gentle as I am, I have to face the judgment will have to fall on them. One day. Yes.
That's why I returned to Mike, because in view of gravity of what you were presenting, many could be so abstract from it, then we need to find out what is troubling many.
That's true.
See, in relation to that, what is the problem many that has caused you to be so removed from a situation that's so great as your problem?
Are you offended at anything that's happened to you in this church? I have a feeling you are.
Sometimes, yeah. But it's just a best of the past, maybe.
Are you offended at one of the leaders of this church? Subconscious is a deep, deep thing. You gotta dig and dig and dig to find it. that person showed love, concern. That person's got a lot of love. I know my people better than you do, just like I would know you better than somebody else would. There's nothing she's ever told me about. I just know, don't let anything pull things from the wrong way so easily you can misinterpret someone's actions. And you can interpret something.
Yes, you did.
Minnie, last winter, when I was sick, covered for me down there for 2 months. And I don't think she's got over that. I mean, she pulled herself down. Now she's working with a 200 blood pressure over 110.
200 blood pressure
over
110.
That's not it, Father. Yes, she is.
Well, of course, 200 blood pressure over 110 will not help you out very much. And there's a reason for 200 blood pressure that's a neurasthenic nature, nervous nature. You shouldn't have no blood pressure that high.
I think it's part of the pressure.
Hmm?
Part of the pressure down there, I think.
It's not now.
What is your blood pressure now?
Yesterday it was, 180 over 90 or something like that.
The 90 is the one you need to worry about. It's down, but 180 is still too high. There's a lot festering inside you that's causing that blood pressure to go up. And you all talk it out. That's what our friends are for. That's what we're for. That's what council's for. Council don't, sometimes people say, they don't like us. No, council do like you. They wouldn't counsel all night, night after night, if they didn't like you. You can't expect them always to be just sugar and spice and everything's nice when you're up night and day as we are all up every night and every day. But they want to help. And I want to help. And the congregation wants to help. And Edith is, that was relevant, but covering for you alone wouldn't be what's bothering her. I think there's more than a physical disturbance. But we want to get you out from that pressure. And you should get away from the place. You don't have to live there. You don't have to work there. Certainly you don't work there at the risk of your health.
Well, Father, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't even feel this way, but I was concerned because about 2 weeks ago, Minnie asked me several questions about my daughter and asked me if she was away from, why she hadn't been back to work out there, and if it was because of an injury to her hand, and she...
Because what?
An injury to her hand, and would she be back, and just lots of questions, and yet you had said not once but several times in open meetings what had happened about my daughter with Sally. And,
yeah, Sally,
and I wonder,
poisoned
I couldn't
her.
Help but wonder why she was asking me those questions when she was working out there with Sally and when she, everybody knew what had happened.
It shouldn't have been any concern to you. I find when we get unhappy, we're always more interested in what's going on with traitors who've left than we are what's going on inside.
I didn't know then.
No, but I know, but I'm telling you that, darling.
Oh.
I know a lot about patterns. When we get unhappy or disturbed, we'll look back or we'll look out rather than look in. Look at what we got. We will not count our blessings as much as we count our problems. I will look for others who have rebelled subconsciously. It may be way, obviously you got a lot of subconscious distress, or you wouldn't be having a blood pressure at your age like that. A lot about yourself you don't even know, or your blood pressure won't get up that high at your age. That's what friends are for. Talk things through. Shift yourself, folks. Shift. It's not a griddle, darling. We're not on a griddle. You've been a very good soul. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is as his children get things reported. I understand from Francis Buckley that Minnie has ordered to stay away from Pat Grunert and Marianne Casanova, supposedly because they stole her children's clothing last year or before, when they supervised her children then. Francis asked some questions about it recently, asked if she could live there. We want to know, is there anything there that you might like to talk about? Is that any problem over that? Did you feel so that the Pat Grunert and those would steal, or is that a misunderstanding?
No, I never said that she stole them. I said they got misplaced. And
Francis, have you told anyone, darling, that your mother thought that these two stole from you?
Did I tell anyone that Pat?
Did you tell anyone?
Yeah, I told I.
Did you just use the word? You don't need to tell all who you told or what, because that isn't the important issue I want to find. Did you say that your mother said that Sister Casanova and Sister Grunert stole your clothes?
Sometimes they use that, and sometimes it's swipe.
Well, swipe and steal are the same. Who used that? Did your mother say that?
No.
Well, why did you say that your mother said it, honey?
I don't know.
Well, you realize what you put your mother, you make a lot of bad blood for your mother. That's what these things ought not to be allowed to grow in the church. I know I'm busy and you try to keep problems from me, but you shouldn't keep those kind of problems. Sister Casanova and Sister Grunert should have brought it, though they're big-hearted people, and you don't need to get into this. I don't want to get into the interaction of it, but if someone is accusing you of stealing, or you think they are, many times there's a lie behind it or a misunderstanding, and Children can definitely cause misunderstandings, particularly when they want to manipulate something that they need and may well and justifiably need it. But, yeah, good. So I would be awfully careful, darling, not to say that your mother said you stole. Your mother never said that they stole your clothes or swiped your clothes, is that right? Did you tell them that?
She said that they misplaced them because, see, they put...
Misplaced, though, isn't the same as swiping and stealing, honey. You see, you make your mother looking like she accused them of stealing.
I didn't order her to stay away from them. I just said she couldn't stay with them.
And what was the reason for that, honey? Because the clothes... What was the reason you didn't want them?
That's the way I felt at the time, that too much was coming up missing, you know, at the time that I told her that she couldn't stay with them.
If you put it that way, you see, it sounds like you think that that they're missing with a design. If you said it like that, too many things are coming up missing, I can see how the child picked up from your subtle... Your body language and even your verbal language, that you were accusing them of being thieves. It's a hard thing to live down, being a thief. Like some people circulating that Archie and Rosie would steal. Now, I don't know who in the world would ever suggest that Archie and Rosie would steal, particularly things, you know, that they don't have to steal that belong to them. Your own house. I don't know why people tell that kind of stuff. If you got any question, you should get up and say what you got on your mind and not give people bad reputations. You really don't think Pat Grennett and Casanova would on purpose lose their things, do you?
No.
But you see how that sounded? The way I heard it, if I were just listening, I would think you were implying that they were irresponsible at best and maybe purposefully losing your clothes. Now, am I misinterpreting what I heard? Would you pick that up in that conversation? Innocent conversations can carry a load to a child. And it can be a responsibility. Could be. But we want to get this differentiated between that and thievery. As I understand, they have been packed. You couldn't hardly find some of their things, and I know that that's been, they've lived in quarters without water for weeks and weeks. Hasn't been easy to house as many children as they have, but the children in them seem to hit it off. And believe me, there are more things important sometimes than whether the children have all their clothes. However, I'm not into that. That's something you have to decide. Every family has to decide how much they want to extend their children into a large family relationship. Anybody else have anything to say on that? You should be careful with all property these days. You should be well organized. We oughtn't to waste a damn thing. We ought to be really careful. Yes.
I was just going to say, Minnie, you talked to me one night when we were on security, and you told me about how proud you were of your children and how much progress they'd made in this family. And I think that you ought to try to get some of the things off your chest, the things that are bothering you, because I think you would feel that responsibility to your children. So many of our children have had to go through the pain of separation from their parents because of the parents drawing away. And I don't think you want your children to have to go through that.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I mean this. I mean this seriously for your welfare. Anytime you notice anyone not clapping, anytime you notice anyone not singing, anytime you notice anyone not standing, for their sake and the group's sake, you better notice them and report it immediately, because you may be saving your group from trouble and saving the person themselves from some kind of hurt. Now, these are uncertain times, and I mean you're not being a fink to report when you notice people's bad attitudes. You may be saving a person from self-destruction and the group from some real harm. If people had been wise, as they should have been, and reported some things that we'd known, it's an awfully good thing that I had the sense to not listen to nearly everybody in this church structure, with some pleasant exceptions. Some of the best people in this church wanted to put Linda Sweeney as our treasurer. And if Linda Sweeney had been made our treasurer and took off with our money, I would have already been executed in the gas chamber. So it's mighty good that I had the sense not to let her become our treasurer. That's how close it almost came. Because people who had real, sincere dedication, hard work in this cause, devoted hours, night and day, said, she's the one. Eva's too hard worked. It's too heavy for Eva. She's getting in her senior years, ought to be able to retire. It wasn't just pleasure with Eva, but they thought she had a lot of secretarial skill and knowledge and training that Eva didn't have, and it wouldn't be the pressure on Eva. And I wouldn't let nobody get her hands on the money except the Pews and their assistant, Sister Swinney, that's helped them. And mighty God bless good that I did, because nobody would have stole our money without a lot of trouble. Ooh, lots of trouble. So for goodness sakes, everyone notice, be your brother and sister's keeper, and you're not doing a good enough job. No one is doing as good a job as they could in that department. You should watch people's every reaction, because our life is at stake. The promised land, somebody gets moody, they got plenty of room to get away from it all. There's 27,000 acres. People can get away from it. They're not going to hurt the cause. Here, people don't get away. It seems they tend to do destructive things. Go into groups that are anti-Christ, anti-socialist. And that's dangerous to you. I'm not speaking of Minnie. She hasn't done anything. But we have to explore every situation. It seems like just like fly paper draws flies. Sally Stapleton picked up her daughter, wasn't here any time, as Sister Bailey picked her up. She was a nice girl. But her daughter wanted to look for some reason, I guess, not to be dedicated, and so Sally gave her plenty. Gave her plenty of lies. Of course, I doubt she ever bothered to tell her that her daughter had stolen, I don't know how many thousand, a couple thousand dollars, stole off of Bates. Stole off of Hazel DeShields, and her mother covered for her daughter. I doubt if she ever told that too much, but I will say that it's a tendency to people, when rather than face up to something like that, they always start blaming the people that they've done wrong. People can't live with guilt. I don't know anyone in this universe that lives with guilt and works well with it, except me. I can live with guilt and function. Most people can't live with guilt. So you feel guilt? Bet you. I feel guilt that I didn't explore Linda Sweeney's situation more and avoid getting her, as she said on our tape, we have it. She bragged, I look for the weak ones and took them out. Because I've got no character. I planned it well. I had Janet, it's on tape. You don't have to take my word for it. If you want to hear it, we'll play it for you. Please stay awake for me now and listen to this. She said, I planned it well. I have guilt about that. I wish I'd been able to see evil better, or, and maybe that's not even the word, see frustrations better. One thing I wish, she obviously was telling other people she wanted to go to bed with me and I didn't respond to it. I wish I'd even done that. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe some way, through the contact, she would have felt other than rejected. I never openly rejected her, never rejected anybody in my life. No woman could ever say, I spurned you. They said, hell hath no fury like a woman spurned. Well, of course, a lot of those are chauvinistic cliches, but some of them have some ground of being, no doubt, or they wouldn't have gone down through the generations as they have. But I must say I have some guilt. I wish I'd have tried it. Because if you go to bed with me, you learn something about yourself. Mm-hmm. That's why nobody's getting in line to go to bed with me tonight. That's true. Because I don't build something around me. I don't build any kind of a personality worship. Man, it's all psychotherapy when you're with me. In bed or at the table or over a cup of tea, it's all psychotherapy. A lot of love, but it's so damn revealing that when you get through with it, it's so heavy. It's not because I can't function sexually. I can function better sexually than anybody. It's because that I know that that's not where people's at. Sex is animal aggression, as we now have it in this life. It's all frustration, aggression, aggression, aggression. So we have to dig through that aggression and find out what's behind it. And maybe if somebody had dug through her aggression, we wouldn't be in the trouble she's in. Maybe if someone had shown her, Linda, you're beautiful. Not for sex. And whether you're sexually what you think you ought to be or not is not important. That there's something in you. Because the thing she kept saying when we got it back after she left, she came back one time, but her pride was too much. She said, I've got no character, I've got no character, I've got no character. And that's a ball game I don't know how to play. I don't know how to deal with people who feel that way about themselves. Of course, I know some magnificent people who think you got no character, but you still keep coming and you keep paying your commitment, and you're the most beautiful people of all because you think you're assholes and you act like saints. You see what I'm trying? I hope I'm making myself clear. You think you're no good, but you work every day, force yourself to work, and you still think you're no good. Because there's only a fine difference between the Judases and whoever the Christs are. I only know one, me. That's all of what I've found yet, God knows, I'm sorry to say. But even back there in history, too. Anyway, don't feel bad if you don't think you're worth anything. I'd like to change that image because sometimes it can lead you to crazy things. But some of you feel so rotten about yourself, and every day you do good things for people. Say, well, I do it for the false reasons. I don't care what you're doing it for. You're struggling. You're putting money in to get land. You're putting money in to get food. You're putting money in to try to save the people, the children. You get out there and work. You do guard duty to save lives. No doubt people have been killed in this place. Some of you haven't done guard duty. Ain't no doubt about it. They'd have burned this place down. We have on tape Terry threatening to burn it down herself. No doubt. If our once people who've been at our table and supped with us, like my own daughter, can talk about burning it down. These white-neck, red-neck bigots out here, if it hadn't been for you faithful seniors, and too many times faithful seniors, yes, and young people who've stood around this place, yeah, they'd be in trouble. So I feel a lot of guilt. Every time something goes wrong, I feel guilt. Always. I think, what could I have done differently? But most people can't live with guilt very effectively. I don't know what it's doing to me organically. Leader. It's wonderful. It's so beautiful. These microphones, I just love them. Sons of bitches. It's truly wonderful. Remember, I'm the same one that called up the two last night, brought them back from the dead and didn't move out of my seat. I'm the same one that stopped that old brother. Sunday's kidneys came in there, couldn't even flow, wouldn't even move. His kidneys would not even void. He passed that growth. Bless your heart. And then my friend, he came Thursday night shouting the victory. He had no trouble. He urinated like a man. Said he, I haven't urinated like that since I was 18. Had cancer of the prostate, blocked his entire flow. So anyway, I'm making a point. You know why I'm doing that. I'm trying to make a point that I'm the same one that cusses, the same one that he is. I don't know what to tell you about that. I think it's a bigger problem than... I have so many problems, and I know that... That's why I'm the safest leader, because I weigh everything. I don't make decisions quick. And I got human lives involved. I don't know. I think that's the latter paragraphs in order. The first three people can weigh it up here, and you can start there and then go to other people in the church and ask their opinion of it. Then I'll give the final decision. I like to consult. Even though I've had wisdom that's seen us through, when I had no way, where there was no way, I made a way, where there was no way. Right. One thing bothers me somewhat about the people, that you, when I'm in my most honest frame of reference, I can be very quiet and subdued, and you won't listen. It really makes my heart hurt. Makes my heart ache. And when I'm speaking so much from the inner soul, some folk just won't listen, pay a bit of attention. And I can shout it. And it really would make a difference, though I shout truth too, because I don't specialize in anything but truth. But I could shout anything, and somebody be amening me. That's a real tragedy as I see it. Of course, it's late, but it's 20 of 11. We usually got started the last few weeks. We got started at this hour. So we're going to go out of here about 11. It's our intention. But we're on a note of honesty and soul searching. And I hope that everybody will search their soul like I search mine. Then we'll have leaders standing on my right and on my left, at any moment they could fill the vacancy if one of the enemies did me in, which I'm not certainly worrying about, nor even expecting. But you have to be prepared for everything. And I wonder why some don't fill my shoes. You think you're different than me? You think that... obviously some don't think like Professor Roller that I don't enjoy it. Because if you knew how much hell it was, you'd try to help me with the load. That's why I appreciate her testimony so much tonight, because I knew she knew the hell of it. I hate to be praised. I hate to be the centerpiece of the clockwork. I hate to have to sit up here and everything revolve around me as the founder of socialism. I hate that. I hate it because I know what it means. It means that each of you expect me to be perfect and to fail. I'd rather die than fail one of you. But there's nobody on earth perfect. I'm the closest to it that anybody will ever get. But no one's perfect. Only clap at any time to affect our enemies. I never need your claps. And there are some of you tonight, and it was sweet of you. You thought I needed your claps. You underestimate my perfection. I'm way beyond that. I don't need your claps. Only as staging for our enemies. That's the only time I need you to clap. I asked you to sing for that reason. I asked you to dance for that reason. But it's very hard for some of you to know me. Ridiculous. As always, yeah, there's a rumor in Indiana, all through Indiana, that I am... there's a rumor in Indianapolis that you, Jim, and the church have been run out of California and had to go to Brazil. These idiots, they're always so idiotic back there in Indiana. Those people in the boonies. Eva Pugh's sister said that she questioned the person over and over and they told her it was true. She believed them and was very upset. Now, Eva's sister Rose believed it. Now, I would tell Eva to forget her sister Rose if she believed it. That's what I would tell Eva. That's why I say separate yourself from the flesh. Separate yourself from the family ties. If she believed that Eva would follow a man that was run out of California, of course, that might be. If we were run out of California, we sure as hell wouldn't go to Brazil because that's fascist. Brazil is a fascist military dictatorship, but those people don't know they're rearing from their front, so what can you expect out of morons? But I even feel a twinge of guilt when I say that about poor people in the boonies. Every word I say, I think about it after I said it. But you can't talk as much as I talk without saying some words you shouldn't say. That's why people oughtn't to try me. You oughtn't to try me. Don't mess over me and keep it up for, like last night, I felt very bad. I had to blow my stack at two or three people sitting in my church, sitting in my dormitories, taking advantage of my love, not giving their money, trying to mess up different homes, mess up different marriages. That gets my dander up. And I wish you wouldn't get me to that degree because I always feel bad after I've done it. But I have to do it because if I didn't, there'd be people tearing this house clear up. They'd be tore to hell. This place would be tore to hell if somebody didn't get in there and ride hurdle. But I... I don't give a... What the hell's going on back there? Everybody call them Indiana that I'm run out to Brazil. Isn't that too much? Huh? They may want me to Brazil, but I ain't going. If they got a newspaper, I don't care what these fools, they got nothing else better to write about than we're in Brazil. Hell, the poor, sterile, sick souls, they got nothing going for them. They can't even enjoy their TV or their sex or their old crow. They can't enjoy anything. They have to talk about us. Now, we're 2,500 miles away from those assholes. Why can't they talk about something else other than us? We're out here in California. It shows that they didn't have no living until only when we were there. Now that we're gone, they've lost their reason for living. They got to talk about us all the way in Indiana. The whole rumor. Now here, Alice Moten's called, the mother of Diane, mother of hell. But anyway, she called. Tape recorder. I wouldn't talk to her. She said she didn't talk to her. She just let her talk to herself. She said if she plays it back, the tape recorder will repeat itself. And just be repeating herself. Now that's smart because everybody's got these tape recorders and they just put a little thing on the earphone and they pick up everything said in your room. There, now you can go buy them in his store. So you be awful careful who you're talking to on the telephone. Best thing to do is say, and oh, she's an evil woman. That her mother's an evil woman.
She wasted that money to hear herself talk.
She wasted that much money to hear herself talk. That's good. So we're in Brazil. Bless their little pea-picking hearts. It's good. Let them get that kind of rumor. As long as they're looking in Brazil, they're not looking in the right place. I'll tell you right where that came from. Mickey Touche's back with her old relatives, blood, the old honky bigot relatives. So Mickey Touche's told them that the people are in the jungles of Brazil, and then that's gone all the way through. And probably somebody put it on a radio broadcast, a Bible station, and they all listen. Where's Reverend Jones? He's been run out of California. He's in Brazil. So all those kooks have got it, because I was a fascinating personality back there. Nothing ever happened in Indianapolis until we stirred it up. Nothing's happened since we've left, that's certain. They lived drab, miserable lives. We had to keep the things interesting there. Peace March, we'd be the only ones in it. If there's anything done, we were the only ones behind it. I mean, anything good done. We're the only people. So when we left, their life, their light went out. They're sad. Poor, sad people. The whole state of Indiana has to talk about us. Yeah, we broke a lot. What? Yep. When I was a commissioner of human rights, I broke 300 of them. Integrated 300 businesses back there. I don't know. Tim ought to be notified about that. Any question about guilt? Maybe some of you don't ever feel guilt. If you don't, boy, look at yourself. There's other people who never feel any guilt. Linda Sweeney says, I never feel any guilt. Watch those kind of people. Well, that's sweet of you and proper. We all ought to, but me included, because I got to lead you. And I've got to make sure every move I make is the best move. And I'm surrounded by fascist killers. Protecting you is harder than an old mother hen trying to keep her chicken out on 18 degree below zero weather. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. I remind myself of that father. That father. You, if you're too forgiving, remember that old father in the proverb. His son went out in the pigsty. He had to get damn low too before he realized he needed his father. And when he got back, the father of the son that had stayed got mad because the one that had been in the pigsty recognized what he'd lost. Of course, there's some aspects of the story that was stupid. You don't pay somebody for disloyalty. But at least the person who's made a mistake ought to be able to get back. Yet I got a feeling if some folk did come back in this place, others would get mad and go out. It's a hell of a job being in this role. It's really bad. You know the story about the prodigal son. I'm talking about the prodigal son. I would get your attention if I spoke a little bit louder. So Geraldine said we all ought to feel guilt. And if you don't feel guilt, you need to feel guilty about the fact that you don't feel guilt. Thank you. If anyone has a problem of not feeling guilt, I don't want you to be publicly embarrassed. And many, it's too late for you to probe, I know, but I wish you would make a counseling appointment so you could talk. You're a hard-working woman. You've done a remarkable job in this church for so many people in so many ways. So I wish that you, Jack, would set up an appointment schedule so you could talk. We've got to get to the blood pressure too, Edith. That's what we need to be, brothers and sisters, keepers. I've dealt with that once with you, but now here, if it's riding high again, you see, we've got to. And why should we have to wait on me to know it? We should tell it, but it's good of you not to tell it. That's a good characteristic. You never come up and say, pray for me, Father. Some folk, if they had a blood pressure 2 points above 120, they say, Father, I got high blood pressure. Here she's got 180, 200, and didn't say anything about it to me. But the nursing, starting with Sharon, you could talk with us here. Diet, she's got to get free of the things that we know are conducive, salt-free and so forth and so on. You're under thorough doctor's care? He ain't thorough enough. Who is he? Lapkus? 180? Well, we better just see somebody else, too, because after all, Lapkus isn't God either. I need the covers around me and, you know, the holy veil. Well, it won't do no good to put it around me unless I got something to put the holy water in.
We got it.
It's truly wonderful. You may. This, what were we discussing with Sharon, would you start with it? And then let's get into some counsel, because everybody needs everybody. And we need one another, and we need to talk to one another when we got problems. Some of you never in counsel. And some folk are in council every night, so why don't you, they'd like to see some new faces. Yeah, so you'd be doing them a good favor. They could see some new people. And I got one woman, she's not here, and I won't name her. I got one woman who has to have every time she sees me, she has to have a council. She's a nice woman, but I'm getting so tired of hearing her problems. I won't tell you what I thought then, was it might shake your sanctimoniousness. Yes, it has something to do with my container, yes. You developing your prophetic skills?
No, just my seductive mind.
Seductive mind. Watch it. You missed the word there. Subversive mind. Yes, yes. I'm sure we'll be haunted by that word. Dirty people with dirty minds.
I don't know. I saw a lot of people laugh at the poem. I want to give this to Mother Laternal.
Mother, that's sweet. Now she's smiling sweet there. Now quit. You get off Mother's back. Because Mother will preach at you next time. She'll preach sonship right at you. Some of us come a mighty long way, haven't we? He's been, Mother and I and he, and some of us have been together over 20 years. Thank you. Now, if you have faith in that water, that'll heal you too. Just look at it. It'll do it. The electrolytes, all those electrolytes in that, my God, take a look at it. Yes, Mother, now we're going to hear something, I'm sure. That's sweet. She said, I have taught her all she knows. I have made her what she is. Thank you. They got the message. Very well spoken. good apostolic behavior, proper comportment. 5 more minutes. Did you get the feeling of what I was trying to impart about guilt?
Yeah.
You sure you don't have any question? We don't get to talk very often. There's so many, many people. Some of you don't feel free to talk when there's so many, many people. This looks like a small gathering to us. 300 people look like a small gathering to us, doesn't it? Yes. Yes, Professor Roller. Shift again, dears. Bless your sacroiliacs. You may be seated. Count on more than that from Los Angeles offering today. Things are financially bad everywhere. No matter who takes the offering, mother, me, we take the biggest offerings, but our offerings are now down too. Yeah, but it didn't stay that low. It wasn't always that high. But almost from February to May, it was that high. We're in some financial troubles, friends. I'm not getting ready to take an offering. Go ahead, hear what you say.
Well, on the question of feeling guilt, I was wondering if it might not be a good idea for all of us to analyze ourselves about this complaint that Father made, that we don't pay attention to him when he's trying to teach us in a solemn mood. It's not his fault, so it must be our fault. And I, as a teacher, I'd be interested in, well, not myself seeing, but in having the group see why people think that they themselves don't listen to him. What is it that makes your attention wander when he's talking in a low voice about very important things? Why do you go to sleep? I think you'd learn something about yourselves. I'd just like to make that suggestion that everybody who finds that they really aren't interested in a teaching session, why is that? What's bothering you?
It's true. Well said. Let messages go around. The secretary's at the doors again. Never say, we don't let you in when our pastor's not here. Just say, it's a congregational discussion, congregational business meeting. We always discuss business, so it's the truth. Congregational business meeting. Someone in Los Angeles told some white people that, Clara Jackson or someone's her name, said that... Pastor, we don't let people in here when our pastor's away. What a stupid statement. Sweet person, but a stupid statement to make. You don't do that. And you get them all stirred up that way, and I want that to go around. Will you please take that down? That the only simple answer, sweet answer is, it's a congregational business meeting. Our pastor may not be here, and that's very conceivable. The last few days I've been getting in late. Got out of the Los Angeles, San Francisco meeting at 11 o'clock in the morning and got to Los Angeles at, what hour? What hour was it? Got in there at 8 o'clock. What? All right. Yes, my man. Yes, young man.
This one day when I was at last week at school, and I was thinking about cutting the class. So I did. I started to cut the class and I walked out the door. and then a bird messed on my head, and I wanted to know, did you send that bird to mess on my head?
Now wait a minute, this is not really funny. You take second thought. He asked a question to him, it was a serious question. If it's serious enough to ask it, it was serious enough for us to listen.
It was serious enough for you to answer, wasn't it?
I don't know the answer. Well,
I don't either. That's why I'm trying to get off the hook.
No, he didn't send it. Any more questions?
No, no, no. No more questions.
Let the bird saw a good place for a nest. He settled there.
Humor, and it's necessary that he said that all people must feel freedom to speak where they're at. It may not be where you're at, and obviously it may not be where God's at, but everyone needs to speak exactly where they're at. Otherwise, you can't bring people from where they're at to where they might be. And that's a mild reaction.
I don't know if I'm changing the subject here, but I was looking at this newspaper here, and it says a neat tax loophole for congressmen, and I was wondering if these people felt any guilt, and they have the nerve to ask for more money, and this is for living out at Washington. While they're living at Washington, people are supposed to pay their expenses when
no
they
capitalists,
have
you see. No one who, no capitalists, Sonny. We go through these questions very frequently, and I'm certainly thrilled that you people are reading newspapers. It's beautiful. But no capitalists, no one who takes an elected office in the society, Democrat or Republican, has any conscience. I listened to the Peace and Freedom candidate today, and the American Independent Party candidate, and the Republican and Democrat candidates coming back from here. I spent my time listening on the radio. I need a radio bad, it'll work, but I listened the best I could between the static and the breaking off of the current. Now, you can decide one thing, that anybody who has gone into politics in the capitalist system, where both parties are capitalistic, both Democrats and Republicans support the system that is right to make a profit no matter who it hurts. The right to love money, which is the root of all evil. The right to do in anybody they want to. That's simplifying it and making it a little more gross than they'd like to have it interpreted. But when any of these politicians get into this system and support it, they don't have any conscience. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron, to use the phrases that we'd be accustomed to. So, no, no, they have no conscience about that. And the people, what's the pitiful part of it is, not only do the leaders lie, but the people would have it so. Because anybody can read just like you're reading and see that they're getting no more tax loopholes. Mr. Rockefeller made $52 million that he didn't pay taxes on, and some of it included donations to his own friends, donations to his own relatives, and he didn't pay any taxes on it until they caught him. And then after 5 years they caught him, and he pays $1 million on $52 million with no penalty. Nobody ever got caught evading taxes without paying a penalty. And all these Democrats and Republicans are still saying, well, I think we need to look into it further, says Senator Byrd, and he's a Democrat from West Virginia, the mining country, and I am the Republican, so I think we should look at it. At this time, how would you vote, Mr. Senator? I'd still vote for him as Vice President. They're crooks! They're crooks. They're dealing with a bunch of sneak thief crooks. That's why if anybody gets me up and asks me any questions about what did you do with your healing ministry, were you using the church to lead people into socialism, I'll say, sure. Sure. They better not get me on no witness stand. I'll answer their questions. I'll answer them very sharply. Everything they accuse me of, even some things that I may have not done, I'll say, yeah, I'd have done more, too. I did the best I could in a crooked and perverse generation where people are caught up in superstitions and nonsense and foolishness that I still hear in this assembly every night, superstitious nonsense. I'm not talking to you, darling. I'm just addressing that question. Sure, I'd say I'd do anything to get people to be socialist. Anything except violence to them. Anything. So don't tell me that you haven't heard. Don't come up to me and say sometime in some court that I took your money under false pretenses. Honey, I told you every step of the way what I was doing. I can heal, raise the dead. I can do it. Got more faith in socialism than these stupid asses have gotten God. If I've got faith, I can sit still and let somebody be dying and say, get up and come up and I'm going to kiss you. You're going to be all right. That's faith. That's faith in something higher than the normal, as we know the normal. That's faith in a paranormal socialist dimension. That's faith in the highest thing that you ever see. Because these preachers get scared to death when anybody starts to die or get sick. They go all to pieces. They see a little blood. Bunch of cowards. They don't believe. They say, round the walls of Jericho, faithfully trod. Talk about God make the rain, God stop the sun, and yet somebody start dying, they get nervous as hell. But I don't. I got power. But I'd do anything. I'd handle rattlesnakes. Up here I'd handle rattlesnakes if it'd get more people in here, and I'd get them through the rattlesnakes away from their fears and superstitions on to God, and if I had to, take the rattler out. If I didn't feel like that I wanted to take the risk of being lost to you, I might take the poison out of the rattler. Now what's so shocking about that? It doesn't shock some of you, but it still shocks some of you. But it won't make no difference how much it shocks you. I've been telling folk about this all the way along. Been telling you I'd do anything. I said I'd run you through to socialism on my back or through my dick or wherever I have to bring you, I'll bring you, honey. I said it.
peace.